Good morning, church family. Thanks for joining me on this journey as we learn what it means to be a manly church. I know I've been convicted and challenged afresh. We looked at these five battle cries for turning sissies into soldiers of Christ and for waging spiritual warfare. In verses 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14, trust you got your Bibles open. First was watch, and then stand, and then man up. Number four is strength. The end of verse 13, Paul says, be strong. One word in the Greek. We don't have that in English, but Afrikaans has it. It's one of my favorite Afrikaans words. I love hearing Afrikaners use it with one another. Sterkte. Sterkte. But here in the Greek, it's actually in the passive. Be strengthened. Why do you think that is? I bet you know. It's the same reason Paul uses that language in Ephesians 6, be strengthened in the Lord and in his mighty power and with his armor. Our spiritual strength won't come from within. We're not self-made. It's not inherent to any of us. Doesn't matter all your natural strength or weaknesses of your personality or your gender or your culture or your background or your experience. We need a strength from above, a strength from outside ourselves, a fortitude that God alone can supply. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My grace is sufficient for you, says the Lord. Let's admit it, friends. When it comes to spiritual battle, we are impotent, vulnerable, weak, and powerless. But we're not alone. Be strong and courageous, Moses said to Joshua repeatedly, and we read throughout the Old Testament times. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear, for not you are great or you've got the answers inside yourself, or you can figure this out. No, for the Lord your God is with you. He will not fail you. He won't forsake you. He goes ahead of you. Therefore, be strong and courageous. Man up. Jeremiah 12, verse 5. If you've raced with men on foot and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses? You see, the text is telling us here, in this fourth battle cry, strength, be level-headed. In other words, unflappable, tough, do hard things, take risks, don't just play it safe, expect pain, pay a price, cultivate thick skin, do the heavy lifting in the Lord's work, show up faithfully at church, respond when needed, don't join the ranks of the flaky and the touchy. Be strong. J. Oswald Sanders writes, the world is run by tired men. Not by men looking for an easy street or wanting to walk down mediocrity road, but by men willing to be exhausted in the Lord's work, all by his strength. And then comes the fifth and final battle cry here, beloved. Watch, stand, man up, strength. Number five, verse 14, love. Love. Look at the text. Let all that you do be done in love. There's a whole sermon. In fact, that's my plan for next week. It's what 1 Corinthians 13 was all about. As one writer puts it, love complements and balances everything else, especially what we saw in verse 13. Love keeps our firmness from being hardness, our strength from being domineering, our manliness from being macho, our right doctrine from becoming obstinate dogmatism, our right living from becoming smug self-righteousness. Let all that you do be done in love. Especially applying this to men, one writer says, God is calling us here to grit and to grace. That's well put. This keeps men from the extremes of either abdicating or abusing leadership. It galvanizes men to be strong and humble leaders. It turns our leadership from being hard and abrasive into being gracious and compassionate. Church family, let's allow these five commands to sink deep within our souls, calling us all to grit and to grace, to be people of granite and spiritual rock and fortitude and compassion and mercy and kindness. It was said of the great American president, Abraham Lincoln, who led the nation through the Civil War and ended slavery in the States. It was said of Lincoln that he was a man of velvet steel. Could that be said of you, of us, Christians? Velvet steel. J.C. Ryle, the great bishop of Liverpool and staunch defender of the gospel against many of the enemies of his day, he was once introduced as the frank and manly Mr. Ryle. Ryle was called that man of granite with the heart of a child. I pray that God would make me like that, and you too. It's been said that we ought to be hard on principles, but soft on people, have thick skin and a soft heart. And who is the supreme example of this perfect blend of tough and tender, of grit and grace, full of grace and truth? The Lord Jesus, God incarnate, the personification of strength and love, the Lion of Judah, and the Lamb of God, rebuking the storm and the demons, and then gently touching the bleeding woman and raising Jairus' daughter. Jesus, the good shepherd and the great and chief shepherd, tender with us, his flock, tough against all our foes, gentle when we are hurting, firm when we stray. Don't you see, beloved? Verse 13 and 14 here of 1 Corinthians 16, it's actually a summary of the whole epistle. All 16 chapters are about grit and grace. There's divisions in the church. There, remember, there's immorality and lawsuits and discipline and troubled marriages and abused liberties and trouble at the Lord's table and misused spiritual gifts and people denying the resurrection of the body. Every kind of worldliness that infects the church requires this kind of godly, manly response. Watch, stand, man up, strength, love. John Piper sums up well what it means to be a manly church and why this matters. He says, the Son of God comes into the world as a man, not a woman. He chooses 12 men to be his apostles. The apostles tell the church that all the overseers, the pastors or elders who teach and have authority, 1 Timothy 2, should be men. And that in the home, the head who bears special responsibility to lead and protect and provide should be the husband, Ephesians 5. God has given Christianity a masculine feel. And being a God of love, he has done it for the maximum flourishing of men and women, of boys and girls, of young and old. God did not create women to languish or be frustrated or in any way to suffer or fall short of full and lasting joy in a masculine Christianity. She is a fellow heir of the grace of life, from which, says Piper, I infer that the fullest flourishing of women and men takes place in churches and homes where Christianity has this biblical, God-ordained, masculine feel to it. For the sake of the glory of women, for the sake of the security and the joy of children, God has made Christianity masculine. He's ordained for the church to be manly. What this means is that theology and church and mission are marked by overarching godly male leadership in the spirit of Christ, with an ethos of tender-hearted strength and contrite courage and risk-taking decisiveness and a readiness to sacrifice for the sake of leading and protecting and providing for the community, all of which is possible only through the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's the feel, it's the church culture that comes from a great and a majestic God who, by his redeeming work in Jesus Christ, inclines men to take humble, Christ-exalting initiative and inclines women to come alongside these men with joyful support and intelligent helpfulness and fruitful partnership in the work. Well, you asked Tim, what will it look like practically to have a manly church with a biblically masculine ethos? Here's a few closing specifics, friends. A courageous church that's unafraid to confront the issues and the idols of the day. A church that doesn't shrink back from teaching hard doctrines and being politically incorrect when it comes to God's judgment and wrath and Satan and hell and apostasy and so forth. It means a doctrinal and a confessional church that knows what it believes and seeks doctrinal clarity and draws lines and takes stands and teaches the Bible with conviction and authority. It means a pure church, not afraid to practice church discipline, even to excommunicate when necessary. It means a male-led church where it's not the wives behind the scenes pulling the strings or wearing the pants, as is too often the case in churches and homes. A manly church means a complementarian church that's training its sons to be masculine and its daughters to be feminine. It means a chivalrous church full of true gentlemen laying their lives down for wives and children and protecting single women and caring for them as well as sisters in Christ and who have a special calling. It means holy and happy marriages. It means men who lead their homes in family worship. I love the Saturday videos that Duncan and Matt and the team have been putting out lately. What an encouragement. What an example. I leave you with this, beloved. Shakespeare dramatized the famous speech of Henry V in 1415 on St. Crispin's Day, as the English troops were vastly outnumbered by a sea of French troops. But King Henry rallied the soldiers by declaring, "The day will come, men, when you will strip your sleeve and show your scars to your sons and grandsons and say, 'These wounds I had on St. Crispin's day.' And gentlemen in England now asleep shall think themselves accursed that they were not here to share in your honor. And they will hold their manhoods cheap while any who speaks who fought with us upon St. Crispin's day." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you gave your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us all and to die for all the unmanly and effeminate ways that we have failed to show courage. Thank you for your promise. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, Father, what a threat this is to the kingdom of darkness when we are a manly church, watching, standing firm, strong and courageous, loving in all we do. What a weapon in your mighty hands we could be. Oh, Lord, teach us, as the hymn says, to stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Ye that are men, now serve him. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, the crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. In our victorious Savior and Lord, in his great name we pray. Amen.